Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're stepping aboard, well, more than just a train, really. We're talking about the Orient Express. A true icon, wasn't it? It really captured the world's imagination.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, a rolling legend. More than just transport, it was a symbol of an era, wasn't it? Luxury, connection. It links cities, yes, but also cultures, worlds, really.
Right. So that's our mission for this deep dive, to explore that legend. We'll look at its origins, which are fascinating, then its golden age, how it sadly declined, the revivals happening now, and of course its huge impact on, well, everything, books, movies, you name it.
It's quite a story.
Definitely. So let's start at the beginning, the person behind it all. Georges Nagelmackers, Belgian, son of a banker. He founded the Compagnie Internationale des Wagonlits, CIWL. What was his first major move?
Well, Nagelmackers was smart. He didn't just launch it cold. He did this amazing test run back in October 1882, called it the Train Eclair Deluxe, lightning luxury train, basically.
Lightning luxury. I like that.
Yeah. And it was a proper trek, 2,000 kilometers, Paris, Gare de l'Est, all the way to Vienna. And the train itself.
Wow.
Baggage cars, yes.
Yeah.
But multiple sleeping coaches. One even had these things called bogies. Pivoting wheels.
For a smoother ride.
Exactly. Yeah. Made a huge difference. And crucially, a dedicated restaurant coach. Number 107, apparently.
A restaurant car on a test run. That's ambitious.
Totally. Setting the standard incredibly high from day one.
So what did they eat? Must have been something special.
Oh, you bet. The menu from that first trip, October 10th, 1882. Get this. Oysters.
Wow.
Turbo with green sauce. Chicken a la chasseur. Filet of beef with chateau potatoes. And chocolate pudding to finish.
Okay, so not just sandwiches then.
Not even close. Yeah. This was pure luxury. Yeah. It really laid the groundwork, you know, showed this was going to be about the experience, not just the travel. Unprecedented comfort and fine dining.
Okay, so that test run definitely made a statement. How soon did the actual service start and where did it go initially?
The first official Express Doria, that was its name, then started June 5th, 1883. Just Paris to Vienna at first. But Nagelmackers, he had bigger plans. Pretty quickly, by October 4th that same year, the route reached Constantinople, Istanbul, as we know it now.
All the way to Istanbul in 1883. Was that a direct train ride back then?
Well, not quite. Not like we might imagine. In those early days, it was more of an adventure. You'd take the train, then a ferry across the Danube to Ruse in Bulgaria.
Okay.
Then another train to Varna on the Black Sea coast.
Right.
And then another ferry across the Bosphorus to actually get into Constantinople. So multimodal, you'd call it today.
Wow, yeah. Quite the trip. So when did it become that more direct single train journey we picture?
It took a little while. They opened a more direct rail route through Belgrade and Niš in 1885. But the real game changer was June 1889. That's when the first direct train service from Paris all the way to Constantinople started, pulled right into Circeci Terminal.
Ah, okay. That sounds more like the iconic Orient Express.
Exactly. And then, in 1891, they officially renamed it the Orient Express, and the legend was truly born.
So building on that, let's talk about the peak. The 1930s, often called the Golden Age, what made it so special then?
Yeah, the 30s were definitely the high point. It got so popular, they were actually running three parallel services at the same time.
Three.
Yep. The original Orient Express, the Simplon Orient Express, and the Arlberg Orient Express, all running concurrently. And what's really interesting is the Simplon Orient Express. It started in 1919, after the Simplon Tunnel opened between Switzerland and Italy. It actually became the most important route between Paris and Istanbul. And part of the reason why is fascinating. It's pure geopolitics.
Go on.
There was a clause in the Treaty of Saint-Germain, one of the treaties after World War I, it basically forced Austria to accept this train route.
You're kidding. A peace treaty dictating a train schedule.
Pretty much. It rerouted traffic away from Germany and Austria, favoring the Allies' route. It really shifted things on the railway map.
That's incredible. So beyond the routes and politics, what was the actual experience like during this golden age? The luxury aspect.
Oh, it was renowned. Unmatched comfort. The sleeping cars had permanent service, attendants always on hand. And the restaurant cars, legendary. High-quality gourmet food, fine wines, all while rolling through Europe.
Sounds amazing.
It attracted everyone. Royalty, diplomats, big business types, artists, you know, the wealthy middle classes, the bourgeoisie. They even added services connecting from Calais so you could easily come from London. Yeah. It really spanned the continent. A rolling stage for the elite, basically.
It sounds almost like a dream. But, well, dreams don't always last. Major world events must have taken a toll, right? The wars.
Oh, absolutely devastating. The service just stopped completely during World War I, 1914 to 18, and then again World War II, 1939 to 45, total suspension.
Did anything run on those lines during the wars?
Well, during WWII, the German company, Mintropa, their version of Wagenlitz, tried running some services through the Balkans, but it was constantly disrupted. Yugoslav partisans were pretty effective at sabotaging the tracks, made regular service almost impossible.
And after the wars, I imagine the new borders, the Iron Curtain, that must have caused problems.
Huge problems. Border closures became a major issue, like between Yugoslavia and Greece for a time, or the Bulgarian-Turkish border. That really hampered the routes to Athens and Istanbul. Plus, you had the rise of communism in Eastern Europe. Those countries increasingly started using their own national railway carriages instead of the classic CIWL ones.
Ah, so the consistent luxury, that whole seamless experience started to fray.
Exactly. It chipped away at the brand, at the whole elegant feel of the journey.
So the Grand Journey started shrinking. Can you walk us through that decline? How did this magnificent route get cut back?
It was a slow bleed, really. By 1962, two of those three services we mentioned, the original Orient Express and the Arlberg, they were gone. Only the Simplon Orient Express was left. And even that got replaced in 62 by a slower train called the Direct Orient Express. Less glamour, you know.
And the company itself, Wagenlitz.
Big change in 1971. They stopped running their own carriages. They sold them off or leased them to the national railways. That was a massive shift. You lost that unique CIWL-managed experience.
Right. That sounds like a critical turning point, the beginning of the end, maybe?
It really felt like it. Then, 1976, the direct Paris-Athens service was cut. And the big one. May 19th, 1977. That was the last run of the Direct Orient Express from Paris all the way to Istanbul.
So that was it, the end of Paris to Istanbul.
For that direct service, yes. A lot of people thought that was the final nail in the coffin. But surprisingly, a train called the Orient Express kept running, but only from Paris to Bucharest.
Ah, okay, so it clung on in a diminished form, but the cuts continued, I assume.
Oh, yes. They kept trimming it back. 1991, Bucharest was cut. Budapest became the end of the line. 2001, it was cut back again, just Paris to Vienna. By then, it was basically just a standard Euronight overnight train, just carrying the famous name.
And the final journey.
December 10th, 2009, the last train officially named Orient Express left Vienna. Never ran again under that name as a regular service. Someone famously said it was a victim of high-speed trains and cut-rate airlines. Just couldn't compete anymore.
A rather sad end for such a legend, but was that really the end? Did the name, the idea just vanish?
Well, the original continuous service ended, yes. But the legend, no way, is too powerful. The spirit lives on, and it's lived on through various private ventures trying to recapture that magic.
Like what?
Well, back in 1976, a Swiss company, Interflug AG, started the nostalgic Istanbul Orient Express. They used restored historical carriages. They even ran a special Paris-Istanbul trip for the 100th anniversary in 1983. It was pretty cool, but that service stopped in 2007.
Okay, and what about the really fancy ones we hear about today? The super luxury experiences.
Right, the one most people probably think of now is Belmond's Venice Simplon Orient Express, the VSOE. That was started in 1982 by a businessman, James Sherwood. He bought up and beautifully restored original 1920s and 30s CIWL coaches.
And they run the classic routes.
They run various luxury trips across Europe, including a version of the Paris-Istanbul route. Though, interestingly, they use the Brenner Pass through Austria now, not the Simplon Tunnel route.
And the connection from London, I heard something changed there.
Yeah, that's right. They used to have a dedicated connecting train in the UK, the British Pullman, down to the Channel. But that stopped in April 2023. Brexit complications, apparently. So now, if you start from London, you take the Eurostar to Paris and join the main train there.
So these modern luxury trips, they must cost a bit.
Oh, indeed. It's a premium experience. Tickets for the VSOE currently start at around $3,262 per person.
Wow. Okay, so definitely a special occasion kind of trip.
Absolutely. It's recreating that golden age glamour, and that comes at a price.
Are there any other revivals happening? Anyone else trying to bring the name back?
Yes, actually. There's a big project underway by Accor, the hotel group. They bought a 50% stake in the Orient Express brand from the French National Railway, SNCF, back in 2017.
What are they planning?
They got their hands on 17 historic CIWL carriages, ones that were part of that defunct Nostalgie Istanbul service I mentioned. They're doing a massive, very luxurious renovation. The plan is to launch brand new journeys, including Paris to Istanbul again, supposedly in late 2026. So watch this space.
Interesting. So the legend might return to its original route and style.
It just seems that way. Oh, and just quickly, there's also an OBB Nightjet. That's the Austrian Railway sleeper train running Paris to Vienna 3 times a week since late 2021. It follows part of the old route, but it's, just a regular modern sleeper train, not branded as the Orient Express.
Still, it's amazing how this one train service just grabbed the world's imagination. It's everywhere in popular culture, isn't it? Far beyond just railway enthusiasts.
Oh, completely. Its whole aura, the glamour, the history, the exotic destinations, the mystery. It's just irresistible for storytellers.
That idea of being trapped almost with a group of strangers on a moving train, perfect for drama.
Exactly. It's a ready-made plot device. And of course, the most famous example is Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, set specifically on the Simplon Orient Express, by the way.
Right, the classic.
But it pops up everywhere. Bram Stoker's Dracula has characters traveling on it. Ian Fleming used it for James Fond's escape in From Russia with Love. Graham Greene wrote Stamboul Train.
So thrillers, spy stories, but it's not just about murder and espionage, is it?
No, not at all. It also represents adventure, the Grand Tour. Paul Theroux writes about it in The Great Railway Bazaar. Even Bill Bryson took a trip on it in 1973 when it was getting a bit run down and wrote about that experience.
If in decline, it had an allure.
Totally. And historical fiction loves it too. Flashman and the Tiger puts the character Flashman on the very first journey. It even appears in kids' books like Lion Boy.
And the movies, of course. Multiple versions of Murder on the Orient Express.
Yep, the classic 1974 one, the TV movie in 2001, the big Kenneth Branagh one in 2017, plus the Bond film From Russia with Love from 63, the film of Graham Greene's Travels with My Aunt in 72, and it's still appearing. It was central to the plot in Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1 just last year, 2023, and even in the Adam Sandler comedy Murder Mystery in 2019.
It's amazing how recognizable it still is, even in cartoons.
Oh yeah, TV's been full of it. There's actually an Orient Express TV series back in the 50s. It's shown up in the Pink Panther, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
David Copperfield, the magician, made a dining car vanish on it for a TV special.
No
Yep.
way.
British comedy The Goodies did an episode, Daylight Robbery on the Orient Express. And you get these really fun, imaginative uses. Like in Star Trek, The Next Generation, it appeared on the holodeck.
Of course it did.
And Doctor Who had an episode literally set on the Orient Express in space. Michael Palin wrote it in Around the World in 80 Days. Paddington Bear has been on it.
Wow. It's truly seeped into every corner of culture, music, games, too.
You bet. There's a symphonic piece called Horror on the Orient Express by Alex Adderley, inspired by a role-playing game. A Turkish musical group called Orient Expressions. Jean-Michel Jarre did a track called Orient Express.
In games.
Big time in the Call of Cthulhu horror RPG campaign. Also called Horror on the Orient Express. There's a classic computer adventure game, The Last Express, a murder mystery set just before WWI. It features in the Railroad Tycoon games. You can even get an achievement related to its route in Euro Truck Simulator 2.
That's incredible. From a luxury train to a video game achievement, it's truly everywhere.
It really is a testament to how powerful that original idea, that image, remains.
What an amazing story. We've gone from Nagelmacher's vision, this audacious dream, right through its glittering peak, its slow fade, and now into these modern revivals and this incredible cultural afterlife. It really did defy its own end, didn't it?
It absolutely did. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What is it about the Orient Express? Its enduring allure, the fact it keeps coming back, its constant presence in our stories.
Yeah.
What does that tell us? Maybe about our fascination with a certain kind of travel, with luxury, sure, but also with history, with stories embedded in places. Especially now, in our age of instant everything, high-speed trains, budget flights. Maybe we still crave that sense of journey, that touch of romance and mystery. Something to think about.